Welcome to our next session on the series entitled The Kingdom Is Not Now. And in this session, we're going to look at a passage in John 18, verse 36, where Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, this is a passage that's often interpreted by our Reformed friends to teach that the kingdom that Jesus had been offering is not really a literal kingdom, but rather it's a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of believing men and women. And therefore, they conclude that the kingdom was established at his first coming and that the kingdom is now. So let's consider a couple of two or three good biblical clear reasons to reject that view of our Reformed friends. And the first one is that Jesus in this passage did not mean that the kingdom was not going to be established on earth. When he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," he didn't mean that it's not a literal, physical, earthly, millennial reign of Christ on earth as the prophets predicted. He was not denying any of that. He wasn't saying that his kingdom wasn't going to have a particular piece of land, or that there would be no government or no throne, or that it wasn't a political kingdom that he was offering. It was, and he was offering himself as the king. However, what Jesus was saying was that his kingdom was very much different from the Roman Empire in Jesus' day. His kingdom was not like the kingdoms of this world. And he used an expression, "My kingdom is not of this world." And the term for world here is not the term that means age, but rather it's the word cosmos. It's an arrangement of things. It's an order. And Satan is called the prince of this world, the prince of this cosmos. Three times in the book of John, he's identified by that title. And the cosmos speaks of the arrangement, the particular arrangement, the affairs on earth as they are today and as they were in Jesus' day, as under the influence of the prince of this world, Satan himself. Elsewhere, Paul referred to Satan as the god of this world. And in John 18:6, the Lord Jesus is simply saying that his kingdom is not part of that system. It's not part of that earthly arrangement with Satan as the prince of this system. It's going to be entirely different from that. So his kingdom is not of this world. And elsewhere in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am not of this world." So obviously he didn't mean that he wasn't physically there. He wasn't a real person or a literal person. He was in a physical body when he said, "I am not of this world." So he was present on the earth in a literal physical body, but he wasn't part of that system. And his kingdom that he's going to establish also would not be part of that system. Jesus also said in John chapter 15 that his disciples were not of this world. In John 15 in verse 19, he says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So his disciples were real people. They lived on earth. They were physical, literal. They had bodies. But they were not part of that world system. The Lord Jesus, when he saved them, called them out of that system. And it's true of believers today. We are real people. We live on earth. We have a dual citizenship. We live here. We have literal, earthly, physical bodies. But like the Lord and his disciples, we're not part of the world system. The Lord saved us out of that. And we even see in John chapter 17, this was an important part of the Lord's high priestly prayer for his disciples and also for those that would believe after them. And he said in John 17, beginning in verse 14, the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep or guard them from the evil or the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So again, the Lord Jesus was saying these words in a literal body, literally, physically on earth. And he said, but that he was not of this system. And that's exactly what he was saying in John 18:36 about his kingdom. His kingdom wasn't part of that satanic system either. And neither are his disciples. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 that Christ, and I quote, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So believers today, just like the Lord's disciples, just like the Lord himself, and just like the Lord's kingdom, we're real people. We live in the world, the physical earth, but we're not part of the system. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And also, when he said, of this world, the word of is the word, the Greek word ek. And that means out of, as a source. And when the Lord said, my kingdom is not of or out of the world system as a source, he was simply saying that his kingdom did not derive its source from the same place that the kingdoms of this world that are under the influence of Satan were sourced. A different system entirely. In fact, the Lord Jesus in Matthew, his kingdom was described as the kingdom of heaven. The source of the Lord's kingdom is heaven itself. It comes down from heaven and is established on the earth. So it's totally different from the kingdoms of this world in their present condition, with Satan as its God and Satan as the prince of this cosmos. The Lord's kingdom is going to be holy and righteous. It's going to be just and fair for all. It will not at all be like the world system and the nations of the world as they are today. Totally different. In that day, when the Lord Jesus establishes his kingdom on earth, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. There will be a transformation, and the kingdoms of the earth, when the Lord establishes his kingdom, all of those nations will submit to him as the King of Kings. They will be in submission to his authority, at least externally. That's not the case today, obviously. When Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, he didn't mean it wasn't a literal physical kingdom. He just meant that it will be totally different from the nations as they exist in their present system as part of Satan's world arrangement, Satan's world order, if you will, his cosmos. And now let's consider another reason. Another good reason to reject our Reformed friends' view of John 18:36, and that's found in the context, as is so often the case. And just keep in mind that Jesus was talking to one of the rulers, a lesser ruler of the world system, as it was. He was talking to Pilate in John 18. And Pilate had been appointed to be a ruler by Rome over the region of Judea. So he was one of the lesser rulers of the kingdom of this world system that was under the influence of Satan. Satan was the god of this world system, even though the rulers would adamantly deny it. The Bible says that is the case. And also consider the greater context of the Lord's ministry here. He was at the end of his ministry. He was now facing Pilate. He was on trial. He was soon to be executed. Now, early in his ministry, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus and the 12 all were preaching that the kingdom was at hand. Everywhere they went, they said, "Repent," to the nation of Israel, "repent." And if they repented, the kingdom would be established. But it was obvious at this point that the kingdom was not going to be established at that time, that Israel had rejected the offer of the kingdom. They rejected the king, and he was now on trial to be executed by the religious leaders and the Roman government. And so at that point, near the end of the Lord's ministry, and we saw this in one of our earlier sound bites, the offer of the kingdom had been withdrawn from that generation of Jews. And near the end of his ministry, the Lord Jesus was no longer preaching the kingdom is at hand because the offer had been withdrawn. And we saw that in Matthew 21, verse 43, where it says, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you," from that first century generation, "the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." The requirement of Israel, if they were going to receive Christ and the kingdom, for it to be established in the first century, they had to repent, they had to believe on Christ, and then they had to bring forth fruit, meet or fitting for repentance. That fruit was the proof or the demonstration that their repentance was not just a bunch of empty words, but it was genuine. That never came from the first century generation of Jews. They rejected Christ in his offer of the kingdom, and therefore the Lord rejected them. "Woe unto you, Capernaum," and other cities that he rejected. The kingdom was being withdrawn. The offer of the kingdom was being withdrawn from that generation and would be given to a future generation of Jews that brought forth fruit. Now, in the context of John 18, when Jesus was speaking to Pilate as one of the rulers of the present evil world system, he was letting Pilate know that Pilate really didn't have anything to fear from Jesus. He didn't have to fear that Jesus was a political threat, that Jesus was a king, and that he was going to have an army rise up and military insurrection against Rome and cause the Roman government to perhaps take Pilate out of his position. So Pilate really didn't have to fear that. That's what they feared. He feared that if there was an insurrection in Judea, then he, as the ruler of Judea, his position would be in jeopardy. But that was not the case. The kingdom that Jesus offered, the offer was being withdrawn, but his kingdom was going to be very different than the kingdoms as existed in the first century. Jesus never intended to raise up an army and to fight against Rome and establish his kingdom that way by a military defeat. Now, Peter might have thought so. In John 18, earlier in that same chapter, it says, "Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus said unto Peter, put thy sword into the sheath." Put that away. That's not the way the kingdom is going to be established, by fighting with swords. Now, the rulers in the first century that were appointed by the Romans and the Jews also, who had positions of authority, they were fearful, always fearful. They didn't have peace about it. They were fearful about losing their cushy jobs. And in John chapter 11, it says, "Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles, and if we let him alone, then all men will believe on him." And here's the important part. "And the Romans shall come and take away our place and our nation." They were afraid that if Jesus became too popular, there might be an insurrection against them, and the religious leaders and the political leaders in Judea would lose their cushy jobs, lose their place, their position in the empire. And so basically in John 18:36, Jesus was saying to Pilate, "You have nothing to fear from me. There's not going to be any military insurrection against you or against the Romans. And my offer of the kingdom had already been withdrawn, so it's not going to be established in your generation. And Pilate and other rulers really needn't fear this from Jesus. His kingdom was not now." And so the context indicates to us that Jesus, the kingdom that he offered was no longer being offered. He was not a military, he was not a political threat to the rulers of that generation. And another reason, and this is a pretty important reason, another reason for believing that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus is not now is because in this very verse, Jesus said so. And that's a pretty good reason to believe it. In John 18:36, was really a very poor passage to use to promote that the kingdom is now because of one little word in that verse, the Greek word noon, which means now. And notice at the end of verse 36, Jesus says, "But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, another way of saying that, now is my kingdom not from hence, another way of saying that is, my kingdom is not now from hence. Same thing, same meaning. And this implies that the kingdom that the Lord Jesus intended to establish, but the offer has been withdrawn, that the kingdom was not now. So this is an odd verse to use to prove that the kingdom is now. Jesus says, my kingdom is not now, and that implies that it's not now, but it's coming in the future. You know, if you're driving down the highway with your kids, and your kid says, Daddy, let's stop for a drink, and Dad says, not now, he doesn't mean you're not ever going to stop. We're not ever going to stop for a drink. He just means not now, maybe down the road a little ways when we come to a store or something. And so, it seems ironic that the Bible passage, the very passage that our Reformed friends use to promote the idea that the kingdom is now, is the verse in which Jesus said, it is not now. And note also here the words, not from hence. When Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, earlier, he used the word ek, out of. It's not out of this world system as its source. But here he uses a different expression. And he says, here, my kingdom is not now from hence or from this place, meaning from the earth. And as we saw in Matthew 21, his kingdom had, the offer had been withdrawn to a future generation. And so to Pilate, Jesus was saying, you need not fear my kingdom, for it's not now being established here. It will be in the future, but it's not now. So this passage, a great passage, John 18:36, does not mean, when he said, my kingdom is not of this world, he did not mean that it's not a literal, earthly, physical, messianic kingdom. Rather, Jesus meant that his kingdom was not sourced in the same evil system of which the then-present kingdoms were a part. His kingdom is going to be totally different. It's not part of that Satan's system. It's not part of what Paul called the present evil world system. His kingdom is coming down from heaven. And that's why it's so often referred to as the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom that Daniel described as coming from heaven. In Daniel 7, in verse 13, Daniel said, I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, Christ, came with the clouds of heaven. So he's coming from heaven with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his kingdom is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. So here we see that Jesus' kingdom was not sourced from earth. It was not from beneath as Satan was, but his was from above. His kingdom was the kingdom of heaven. It came down from heaven, and it will be in the future established on the earth. So it's not now, but he taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come," because it's coming in the future.